good. He is good.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Good.
Build your kingdom. Yeah, so good.
You know, just as some stuff the Lord was ministering to me there. It almost goes along with what I said about our society and how our fences have gotten more and more prominent over the years, over the decades, and more of an individualistic lifestyle and such. But as we're worshiping there, again, that picture from the tongue, right at the very beginning of our worship time in song, like the picture of the wall that I had. And you know what? In the church, we have built more walls than we should. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for protection in that. And sometimes we ask for that protection, but and we should, but we don't realize the Lord should be our wall. Right? The Lord is our wall. The Lord is our protection. The Lord is the one who guards us. But instead we've built up walls. And immediately as the Lord's ministering to that to me, I can feel the enemy trying to sneak back in, you know, because we said he's sneaky. And he when we close one door or one place, he tries to find another way in. And automatically he comes at me with, oh, but you got to be careful with syncretism. You know, and syncretism, by the way, it's a word where it just blends different religious views and different faiths together. And so sometimes what's happened where and we see this in the Israelites in the Old Testament, where they were supposed to go into land, into the promised land, and not join together with idol worship at all. But what started happening in Israel's history is they started joining the worship of God with the worship of Baal, with the worship of Molech, with the worship of the different gods of the people who were there before them. And they kind of blended them together, so much so that eventually they had an idol to Baal in the temple of God, you know? And my fear, again, as soon as you see fear, you're like, oh, that's not good, got to deal with that, is syncretism. Ah, I got to stay away from syncretism. And so build higher walls and shut people. But what it ends up doing is shutting people out. It's not that we're not supposed to be aware of these things, but the Lord is our hedge. The Lord is our protection. And to be wise, and so it comes down to a verse like, again, be innocent as doves, but shrewd as vipers. And it's like, Lord, you build your kingdom. Because I don't want, like, with those people over there, right, who meant about, like, healing through meditation or healing through spiritism or whatever it is, I don't want them to feel a wall. I want them to feel an open door. I want them to be drawn into these doors where they can find true healing, right? And not have our hands up like, oh, you're dealing in witchcraft, which they might be. Or you're dealing in, you know, spiritism and idol worship or humanism, which they might be, but where they're invited.
I'm just thinking with Lily's tongue, that's like my vision. It's the people, they're out there in the desert, and the Lord is present. He is there. He's shining, and they're trying to get away from him still, but he's right there.
They would just turn towards him. And this is one thing that God is really impressing on me more and more as he's working some stuff out in me, is that God is with everyone. It's not that everyone is with God or for God. No, that's not what I'm saying. But God has a plan for every single person's life. So even, let me explain even the prayer before, where like the Fort McMurray people. I was working through, and I've thought about this before, but it really came alive to me, where people will sometimes ask, especially even some atheists over in the UK, they took out billboard advertising space and on buses, from what I understand, you can be good without God. And there's a question out there, can you be good without God? It depends what you mean by that. If you're asking, can I do good without believing in God, without following God, without making him, like you Christians say, Lord of your life, can I be good? I would answer, yes. Yes, you can. By our standards of goodness, and not just by our standards, genuine goodness. When I've said it before, when an atheist parent, when an atheist father loves their child and pours out love, that's good. That Buddhist neighbor in Thailand loves Sanya, beautiful man, kind, generous, all these things. He's good without God. He does not bow his knee to Jesus. He has not accepted Christ. He is not born again yet. Okay, or at least last time I saw him. He might be now. Who knows? So yes, in one sense, you can be good without God. But in another sense, no, you can't. Because all the goodness that is in every single person we meet is because of God. Because God, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So the kindness that is being poured out to Fort McMurray by Christians, by non-Christians, by Muslims, by Buddhists, by, atheists, anyone, it doesn't matter. It's all really actually because of God. Because that's how he created us. It's just as I was meditating on that this week, it's like nutrition. There might be people out there, nutrition and vitamins and minerals. I don't believe in all that hocus pocus, Well, whether you believe it or not, you benefit from nutrition when you eat an apple. You benefit from it. Whether you believe in it or not, it doesn't matter. It just is. Whether you believe that our earth needs the sun to shine down on it or not, it does. It doesn't matter what you believe. It just is. I think we would do fine without the sun. Well, you can believe that, but no, you can't do fine without the sun. No, I'd be healthy. I'm fine all without it, No, you wouldn't. And so some people would say, I'm fine without God. Actually, you, first of all, don't even know what it is to be without God. No one on this earth knows what it is to be without God. Now, whether they acknowledge it or not, that's a big difference. But no one knows what it is to be absolutely void of his presence. The Bible talks about how he sustains life. He is sustaining life right now for us, So no one knows what it is like to be without him. And without his laws governing. And without even that original, the way we were created, And I pray that, it's like when we were praying for Fort McMurray there, I pray that even people's own goodness, it's almost like, why is this goodness pouring out of me right now? Because that makes no sense with evolution and atheism. Goodness makes no sense. Altruism makes no sense with atheism. Because atheism and evolution is all about, survival of the fittest, and I do what I need to do. Firefighters putting their lives on the line for people that they don't even know, flying in from different parts of Canada, putting their life, that doesn't make sense from an atheistic evolution point of view. That goodness has been put there by God. A person laying down their life for their friend, that's put there by God. A person laying down their life for someone they don't even know, that's put there by God. And I pray that that would speak to people. God is so good. And so, that's something that the Lord was ministering to me as we were worshiping there. And then also the thing about the tearing down of walls. I've been sharing on last few Mondays. I'll just kind of summarize a little bit because I know that not everyone's there Mondays. God's really been dealing with me in areas of love. He wants to expand my love. And he wants me to really, you know, we were talking about that love pouring through us, like, say, for instance, towards Rashad and his family and that, and for different people. With certain people, I have no problem. Like, God just pours it out, and no trouble whatsoever. You know, I think about some of the people I've worked with and stuff they're going through. Just, man, God pours his love out. But with other people, and for me, I especially have problems with, actually, ironically enough, the church. I'm called to the church, but I have big struggles with the church. And especially those who are teaching and leading in that. And God's been putting his finger on that in my life. And he's saying, you're not walking out in love in there. And just to give you a little glimpse, one of my prayers, I think I shared it before, even earlier today, like, Lord, I want to love the heretic. You know, I want your heart, Lord, for the person who is teaching falsely. I want to know what your heart is for that person. And I want to walk out what it looks like to love. And so God has been having me listen to some different people online, different sermons, different opportunities. Carlene's been listening to Azusa now, and so it's so funny because you got some characters that were there. You think our services are long. Carlene is saying it's 15 hours long, so our services has a ways to go before we get to that. But you got some characters there, you know. And immediately as I'm watching, she's watching a lot. I watch a little. Like I'll pass by as she's watching because she's a multitasker. I can't multitask. Well, that's not true. I can putt and listen at the same time, which I often do. But anyways, she does productive things at the same time. And so I'll pass by. The computer's on, and there's Lou Engel. So Lou Engel, like Carlene said, is one of the prophetic voices, and has a heart for revival, and he put this on, you know. This is the first time I've ever heard of the guy, but he's a character. He's a character, as we all are, right? We're all characters in our own right, you know. And he's up there as he's praying, he's rocking back and forth, and he's shouting, like, you know, and then he's yelling and he's rocking . And immediately I see in me stuff rise up. And I begin to judge him based on nothing except just he's rocking back and forth and he's awfully loud, you know. And I see a spirit starting to judge, which is absolutely sinful. And then the enemy tries to say to me, right, because I'm working through this, no, you're discerning. No, discernment doesn't look like this. Discernment doesn't point the fingers and justify self, and especially based on nothing. You know, the Lord, when the Lord gives discernment, he gives revelation, actually. And there might be a check in your spirit, but it's not a check in your spirit. When it's a check in your spirit genuinely from the Lord, okay, there is still peace. There is still the fruit of the Spirit. The primary which is love. There isn't a wall built up with discernment. When it's a check in the spirit, there isn't an automatic wall and stiff arm, you know, for those of you who know football terms, like just stiff arming the person. That's not discernment from the Lord. Okay? And automatically I see this with this guy. Because he's, quote unquote, according to my culture, according to what I'm used to, and maybe it's because, like, you know, I come from a conservative, you know, evangelical, Canadian, you know, nice Mennonite background, you know, where we're, you know, even what we do here, it will rock people's world, you know, kind of thing. But, like, oh, there, at Azusa now, if you get some glimpses, it'll really mess with you, you know, in a really good way. And I look at that and say, Lord, I've got a wall there. I've got a wall. And that's not good. I've built walls, Lord. And I've built them, I think, like, well, a lot of the walls have been handed down to me. I've inherited a number of different walls, passed down from generation to generation, like a family heirloom, you know, just passed down. But then I've built up my own, and I've built some of those family heirlooms a little higher than they were before. Some have been knocked down, praise God. It's like, why do I have this against this man? I don't even know what he believes, what he stands for. But automatically, there's something there. And I'm not walking in peace right now. I'm not walking in joy. I'm not walking in love. Lord, that shows me that my heart isn't right. And then I find out, which is really cool, and this is... Now, this is just to put some things in perspective on a physical level. I find out that Lou, he put this thing on out of a revelation from God. And they rented the Coliseum in L.A., that's where the Olympics were held. Okay, and it seats like 100,000, you know. And I imagine that it's not like renting this place for, I think we pay $60 a week. You know, it's a little bit more than that. But he was so sure it was from God. Found out he sold his house to finance it. You sell your house to finance a 15-hour revival service? Man! And that wasn't enough. Other donations came in because that wasn't even enough, but like, you know... And I don't know, like, I haven't been able to double, like, verify it, but, you know, but just even the thought of that just, woof. And it's like, Lord, I have a judgmental spirit. I have walls built up. And the funny thing is, the odd thing is, or ironic, is a lot of those walls have been built up, I think, because I have listened to other people. And I have eaten it up what other people, like certain websites or certain authors, have said about the Pentecostal movement. Ironic thing is, we have more in common with the Pentecostal movement than some of these people who are writing these articles from like different backgrounds, cessationist people who say God doesn't speak anymore. And I've shared here before. I wonder what some of these people, like these Watchmen websites, I wonder what some of them would write about us if they sat in on us. But I'm believing those things. It's just like, oh God, forgive me. And I'm not saying there isn't discernment to be done. There is. You know, even like we said before about the fear, as soon as you see the fear rise up, okay, you deal with the fear. And then you'll be able to see more clearly. It's not necessarily that all our discernment is wrong and all of it should be thrown out at that point. No, no. But you just set it aside and you deal with the fear, or you deal with the doubt, or you deal with the lack of peace. You deal with the stuff, and you deal with your own heart stuff. Oh God, I'm not walking in love. And that's what the Lord is dealing out with me. Oh God, I'm not walking out in love. So how can I discern? How can I discern properly if I'm not loving? One of the passages that the Lord has taken me to a number of times is the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know? And it talks about all the gifts, and all the gifts are given for the building up of the body, and we are one body and all this. And then, though, the end of chapter 12 says, now let me show you the most excellent way. Love. And if you walk out all the giftings, all the discernment giftings, all the prophetic giftings, all the apostolic giftings, all the stuff, if your church and you as a person do all that, but don't love, it's all useless. You gain nothing, you are nothing. It's like, oh God, how can I ever expect to discern properly and walk out the life that I'm meant to walk out if I don't love? Forgive me. So that's what he's working on in me, and he's doing some pretty funny things, but it's a It's something that I can't even fully see on the horizon yet. It's so, this kind of love. Again, even that prayer, Lord, I want to love the heretic. I want to love the heretic, Lord. Because loving the heretic doesn't mean you sit back and say, oh, there's no heresy. No, that's just foolishness. But love, which is clearly laid out in Scripture what love means, okay, we're going to get to that, where it's clearly defined. It's not just a nice little feeling. It's not the warm and fuzzies, let's hug it out. Okay, love is clearly defined in 1 Corinthians 13. All right? And so there are clear definitions. We are supposed to love. We are supposed to love the body. We are supposed to love our enemies. And until I love, I won't be able to see clearly, and I definitely won't be able to minister. You can't minister to someone you don't love. I love what Sean Bolt said, and I agree. You have no authority in the life of someone you don't love. No authority. Yes, you might actually have a calling of authority, but you won't be able to reach them. You won't be able to touch them if you don't love. Yes, you might have a position. So even if I didn't love you, I would still have the position of authority. But really, I wouldn't be able to touch where you're at.
I don't know where the verse is, but it says, many are called, but few are chosen. So that can mean a lot of things that we're called to. But the reality is we're not chosen because we don't meet the qualifications.
Right.
And the qualifications, number one, would be
I mean, that comes from Jesus' parable of reaching out and inviting people to the wedding feast, but you see the principle, yeah, like you're saying, branch across, so not just for salvation, but for ministry and such. It's good, there are qualifications, and 1 Corinthians 13 makes it very clear, love is an essential. It's a non-negotiable. Has to be there. And so when I pray, Lord, I want to love the heretic, I had to say to God, but God, I have no idea what that looks like exactly. And I don't know where to fit that kind of love. I don't have a nice, neat little box to, you know, the little space. Oh, I'll put it here on the counter. You know, that just fits neatly here. It's like, I got no space for that kind of love. I don't understand it. And yet he has shown me, actually, Kevin, you do a little bit. You have shown that kind of love. You've shown that kind of love to some of the people I've worked with. You have shown that kind of love, and not just shown it, but had it for Sanya in Thailand. And now we're just going to transfer it over. You know, just, okay, we'll take that and let's move it over here. But the unfortunate thing is, where I've had no walls up, like I don't really have walls up with the world. I really don't. I've never expected someone who doesn't follow Jesus to act like they follow Jesus. I've never had any hang-ups with people who are acting absolutely in an ungodly way. Like I've just never struggled with that, because it's like, well, yeah, they don't have God. Like, why would I expect anything different? You know? And so I haven't built up walls there. But spiritual, and especially spiritual with brothers and sisters, or especially spiritual with people who claim to be Christian, built up walls. Built up those walls. Because I have a genuine, like, you know, because I do see syncretism coming into the church, I do see compromise. But the way to defeat that syncretism and that compromise is not by building up higher walls. It's by loving. Loving the truth. Love always loves the truth. Delights in the truth. Doesn't rejoice in evil. Never. But there's still this. There's other qualities that need to come as well.
When you said about, like, not like a little box, I had was just like, it's like a blob, and I just thought, oh, it invades.
Yeah. It invades every nook and cranny. Yeah. I want to tell you about another then person that the Lord had me listen to. I had never listened to her before. I've heard of her. Her name is Heidi Baker. Anyone heard of Heidi Baker? Yeah. Through this process too, like I'm sharing with you guys, I'm also sharing with my friend over in BC. Just him and I are walking, like he's walking through it with me as I message him on Facebook. Love him. And when I told her I listened to Heidi Baker, he's like, oh yeah, she can push some religious spirit buttons, you know, kind of thing. And for sure enough, because like, again, different personality, free. I think she's probably the most free person I have ever, like no qualms about doing whatever the Lord has told her to do. Shouting, she shared, it's so amazing, I could just picture it. She shared when she first came to the Lord and was at a revival meeting and she went there to get out of some work. She didn't want to do the work that she was supposed to be doing, so she went to a revival meeting, and the Lord got a hold of her there, and I think she had been seeking a little bit before that, too. But then the time for the revival meeting came, where invitation to the front, and just as I Am started playing, and she says by the eighth time, like, no one had gone up, and just as I Am is still playing, but then the eighth time, like, she ran down to the front. And I guess right from the beginning, she is very expressive. And she started screaming, oh God, I'm a sinner! And she's just yelling, like at the top of her lungs. And I need you. And she gets shushed by the pastor's wife, who is, can't do that. She's like, I didn't know, you know. And so, and I think she's still like this. And she's very, she has been serving in Africa, Mozambique. For many, many years, and
over 30 years,
and African culture is very demonstrative and expressive, and she is definitely fully hooked into that. Like, but I think from what she's describing, she was like that before she even ever went to Africa. But as you're listening to her, and I like, if you have religious spirit things going on in you, what I mean by that is judgmental religious junk in you, you know, and you have a problem with that, just listen to her. I have often said, I like pushing buttons. I know Jesus likes pushing buttons. And he's been pushing mine, you know, these last few weeks. He's just been, me.
My friend Amy actually did an internship with her in Africa.
Okay.
And she was telling me some stories, and God was pushing those buttons too. Like, I was, you know, I don't know about that.
Big time, right? Because we have to admit, one of the things, even as we're talking about, like John, you were sharing before what God's doing in your life, the way to overcome, okay, is to not pretend the holes in your umbrella, you were talking about the holes in your umbrella, not to pretend they're not there, to fully own it and say, oh, God, change me. I ask for forgiveness. I repent, Lord God, you know? And so as these buttons are being pushed me, I admit, we have been raised in like Canadian society to build up walls, church society. We have often built up walls, put on the happy face. Let's, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it just is fact. I'm not speaking against. I don't want to speak against anything. You know, just it's a fact. But in my own life too. To my own life, and even what we were saying about, can people without God be good? We've been fed this thing where, no, like anyone who doesn't have God is absolutely evil and they're just faking goodness and all this, and no, they're of the devil. No, they're not. They might be hounded by the devil and they might be agreeing with the devil in certain areas, but you know what? They're a person made in the image of God just like you are. And actually, we can reach out to people by pointing out some of the goodness that God is doing in their lives, and pointing and cheering them on to continue to go towards God, you know, rather than again stiff arming and building up walls. I'm not saying call good evil and evil good. That's not what I'm saying at all. And again, that fear rises up. You feel it sometimes? I feel it. Like, oh, what am I saying? I got to clarify. People are online. They might misunderstand. But God is doing amazing things. And I see the walls. And so even as I'm listening to Heidi Baker, I see the walls go up automatically. Like just boom, right there. And just feeling the opposition rising up in me.
I really appreciate like what you're talking about. Because even...
Can you say that again? Just hold it. No, just kidding. Okay,
yeah. A friend of mine who I met online years ago on an abuse discussion board.
Yeah.
She's living with... Like, she's in a relationship with a woman.
Mm.
And sometimes I'm standoffish. It's just this fear, like, oh, I don't want her to think that I agree with it, or
right.
things like that, right? So it's like, the other day she was talking about this series that they've started to watch on Netflix, and Em and I had Once Upon a Time. But anyway, and I was almost not even going to respond to her.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't want her to agree, but think I agree with what she's doing. And it's like, no.
No.
Like, I have to love her just the same. That fear, that's one of my...
Totally.
It's like, I don't want them to think I agree with, or that God agrees with what they're doing.
Right.
Oh.
And that is such a lie that a lot of the church, if it applies to a lot of the church, let it apply to a lot of the church. It's fine. That's a lie I have believed, right? Now, there is a place for where I can't stand with that. I can't agree with that. I can't walk that out with you, okay? I can't. But where we never stop loving, and it's never a pushing away. It reminds me, again, I've shared this before, where I was working at Penner Lumber there, and one of the guys that I got along great with, he had a foul mouth, and he would love telling rude, absolutely inappropriate jokes like that. And he sometimes did it just to get at me, you know, kind of thing. But I loved him. And when he would start telling a joke, I'd walk away. Be like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "I don't like your jokes. They're not funny, you know, and I find them vastly rude and inappropriate. But I love you." You know, I wouldn't necessarily exactly say it that way. Although he knew I loved him. He knew I wasn't rejecting him. It's just, I don't want to wallow in what you're offering right now. You know? Just because one of your friends dives in the mud, dives in the sewer, it doesn't mean you dive in the sewer with them, but it doesn't mean you shove them under. And find Jesus at the bottom of that sewer and shove you right under. No, that's not right either. And as they're trying to get out, you don't beat them with a stick. How did you ever get in there? But this lie that the enemy brings is brought to me is that, no, if you show them any love, or if you even like build relationship, it might tell them that what they're doing is okay. You know what? That's just not true. And yeah, maybe there will be times where that is misunderstood, but you can easily clear that up as God leads, and God will bring it about. And maybe that misunderstanding will go on for a little bit, but you know what? God's in control. Now, with the body of Christ, it's a different thing. Jesus makes it very clear with the body of Christ, if someone's claiming to follow Jesus and in some of these things, then that is an entirely different thing, because Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of his family, which is the body of Christ, and as the head, he has laid out clear directions for how to walk through that. But for the world, just love, you know? But the enemy starts getting in there and feeding us lies. So back to then Heidi Baker, right? Because the enemy's feeding me lies as I'm listening. And again, I've never listened to her before, but there she is in all her excited glory, you know, and loud and funny, like funny as in, I can't believe someone's actually like that, you know, but just different personality, right? But all these buttons are being pushed in me. I'm like, why? Why do I feel an opposition? And it's not an opposition of discernment as in, Lord, because it's not in peace and there's not love. There is skepticism. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, I was reading in 1 Timothy, and There's a phrase in the NIV at least, and it calls it evil suspicions. Love is not suspicious. Love is not suspicious. Love is actually trusting. When you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and it says love believes all things, there's love trusts, always trusts, it says. Love believes all things in other translations. And what I get from that is this place of, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. And so remember, we're supposed to love our enemies as well. So that means giving our enemies the benefit of the doubt. So that when you run across someone who is agreeing with the enemy and actually is opposing God even, no, you're not. See, automatically, if you're human right now, well, or if you're struggling right now, you might be super spiritual and way beyond me in this, you know. But you might have it where, no, but we can't be naive, right? See, the enemy, you notice what the enemy does with us, right? I want us to notice this in life. If we start leaning one way, he'll start trying to shoulder us, right? Not usually elbow us. Usually it's just a gentle, you lean on someone and you shoulder them into the ditch, right? And if we start leaning the other way, he doesn't care which ditch. He'll just start shouldering you into that ditch. And so here I'm saying, from the Word of God, like I'm just talking to you about what's going on in me, talking about love believes all things. It gives the benefit of the doubt. I feel the enemy, oh, you're a naive little fool, aren't you? You know, trying to shove me into the ditch. No, I'm not going to be naive. I'm going to build this wall. You know, because he starts shoving me into that one then. Which both are foolish. We're still supposed to be innocent as doves and shrewd as vipers. We're supposed to ask for wisdom. Okay, absolutely. I'm not speaking against any of those other truths that God speaks about being shrewd and being wise. Okay, we're not supposed to be fools. We're not supposed to be naive. But love trusts. And it believes all things. And according to 1 Timothy 6 verse 4, evil suspicions is not a good thing. Looking sideways at a person, saying, with arms crossed, saying, probably led by the devil. You know, that's not a good thing. That's not right. And why was I doing that so automatically with a woman I've never listened to before? It's because of the religious spirits in me, the religious walls in me. So as I'm listening to her and God is touching some stuff in my heart, automatically reminded of Acts 13. I didn't know it was Acts 13. I had to go there and find it. But it's where a guy named Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, is another name, where he is there, and he's whispering into the proconsul's ear. Well, it doesn't say whispering, but whenever I've read that story, I've always had this picture of him just like whispering against Paul, who is trying to bring the gospel. So the proconsul is genuinely interested, but there's Elymas, a sorcerer, okay, witchcraft, okay, and he is trying to dissuade the proconsul from listening to Paul. And I always get this picture of this whispering, and it kind of reminds me of Grima Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. We had to get a movie reference in here, right? You know, whispering into the king's ear, we don't want his kind here, he's not welcome here, you know, kind of thing, and just whispering his sorceries, you know? And I get this picture of the enemy as I'm listening, as I'm trying to listen, whispering. And it's like, I have, you know, almost like the king waking up out of his haze, you know, being set free from his possession in the two towers there. Like, I'm awakening from a fog, realizing that I've listened to this voice far too often. This accusing voice, the name of the devil, right? One of his names is Accuser. And here he's accusing a person I've never even listened to and passing it off as discernment. And it's like, no, if it was discernment, I would be at peace right now. If it was discernment, I'd be at rest. Now, I'm not saying everything that Heidi says is great. I don't know. I've only listened to her a few times. I've been blessed, but I've been like, my button has been pushed like crazy too. I'm not saying let's turn off discernment. Again, enemy's nudging. But I say no to that sorcerer, that accusing spirit, and the audacity really struck me. I said this to Carlene, you know, here I am listening on a laptop, sitting in my chair at home. And quite frankly, comparatively, and I know some people will say we're not supposed to compare. Actually, Paul does compare church to church sometimes to spur people on. So there is a healthy place for comparison. Not a beating down place, but a healthy place. And it's like, you know what? Compared to what God has done through Heidi Baker, I've done nothing. God has used her to raise hundreds from the dead. God has used her to reach out to thousands of orphans, reach an entire people group. I forget what the people group is called, but an entire people group. Ministering and seeing thousands upon thousands upon thousands come to the Lord. Being on the mission field for over 30 years. And here I am, you know, Monday morning quarterback kind of style. You know, sitting in my chair, all comfy, cozy, judging her. It's like, oh God, forgive me. Again, I hear the enemy, well, are you meaning that you can't discern? It's like, you know what? Shut up, enemy. In the name of Jesus, be quiet. Yes, we are called to discern. I'm not throwing discernment out the window. But in order to truly discern in a godly and heavenly way, I have to love. I have to love with God's love. And part of God's love is that love believes all things. Love trusts. Our natural bent, our natural leaning should be to believe the person. And yet, we take it to Scripture and see, okay, this person is saying this, but the Bible says exactly the opposite. Okay, it's wrong. But even there, you know what? Until I find out otherwise, I'm going to trust the person's heart. I'm going to trust that they're coming from a genuine place. The natural way of God is not towards cynicism. And that's a big wall that I've found in my life with regards to the church. Cynicism. It's like, and ironically, I'm called to the church. Like, a big part of my calling is to the church. But it makes sense then that the enemy would try and do most of his damage in that part of my life. I'm called to believe. I'm called to trust. I'm called to not lose faith. And I don't know, like, I know where it eventually is going to lead, but I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Because again, I don't know what love for a heretic looks like. And I'm not saying, like, by the way, like with Heidi or with Lou Engle, I don't believe they're heretics. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want anyone to take that. Because I'm thinking about other people that I'm not going to name. Because here's another thing about love. And this is what, like, Josh just talked to me about it a little bit last week. And like lovingly confronted me, but God had already worked it out in my life too. Love always protects. Always protects. That means protecting the other person, guarding the other person. And remember, we're supposed to love our enemies, which means I'm supposed to protect my enemy. I'm supposed to protect their reputation. That's why it's never okay for us to gossip, even about people who are doing wrong things. Now, sometimes, yes, some things need to be brought to the light. But even there, it should be with such a humble heart. And it's like, it's almost this place of, I do not want to do this. But out of protection for the body, because we love the body more, we're supposed to, there is a hierarchy of love, like love God. And love your neighbor, and actually it's like love God, love your spouse, children, family of God, and then there's others after that. So there is I can just show that clearly in Scripture, no problem. But if we do have to actually expose something, and even someone, it should be with humble heart, on our knees, almost dreading having to do it. Because you know what, like my one thing that God ministered to me through Sean is that, like sometimes preachers, and I've done this, like they speak out someone's name almost like just throw it out there, and they're doing evil. What if they listen to that? And what if God wants to what if God's ministering to that person right now? And they're this close to coming and repenting and accepting Christ. And then they hear something like that. Or God brings them into your church. I've had that before where I guard my tongue. Like God has specifically spoken to me about that. Like you meet someone out there. And not that with non-believers, I don't really have that big of a problem at all. But like even there, being careful, because you know what? That person, what if they showed up through these doors that Sunday? And you just kind of went off on them 3 days before, and here you are leading the church that the Spirit leads them, and they see you, and they just do an about face and the other way. And it's like I want to guard my enemies. I still want to protect you, and that's where the Lord has shared with me that concentrate on teaching correctly and concentrate on helping people discern what is false. And you don't need specific names for that necessarily. But where it's like, so that whether you hear a word from a famous person or a not famous person, an author of a book or a friend down the road who says they've heard from Jesus when it's not really Jesus, where you will be able to discern, what we will be able to discern together, and then where we will be able to walk through it in love and actually really truly minister to that person, where we protect them, even if they're not protecting themselves, where we guard them, where we believe in them. There's been times where I've looked at people's lives and it's like, oh, you're this close to Jesus right now. Like, you're just turn around. He's right there. It's like, you know, you can't see him. Just turn. You'll be nose to nose with him. And where we guard them and protect them and love them when they're not guarding and protecting and loving themselves. Does that make sense? Are there any questions or comments to add to this? I have let the enemy lie to me too often. You know, there's a saying, right, that we have, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. For me, it's more like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 1,000 times, shame on me. You know? Like how many times have I fallen victim, allowed myself to fall victim to his lies and his accusations against others? Oh God, forgive me. Give me your love. Give me your love. And help me stop listening to the accuser of the brother. One last thing. See, in the flesh, the way I want to deal with it. So you have, on the one side, you have the Watchman websites, often coming from a Reformed theology. Not always, but often. Cessationist, God doesn't work in these ways anymore, God doesn't speak, only the Bible, you know, sola scriptura, in a very strict definition. So that's on the one side. On the other side, you have our Pentecostal brothers and sisters speaking in tongues, shaking back and forth, hearing God speak, you know, words of knowledge, all of this, which again, ironically, we're closer to this side, probably. Right? Well, not just probably, we are. Okay? For the longest time, I've been listening to people and I've been agreeing with the accusations. And they're dealing out their stuff, but I would agree with it. But now I feel the like the Lord setting me free from some of that. But you know what the automatic knee-jerk reaction is? To just give them a good hind kick over here. And to be angry at them. To be angry at the Watchmen people, those Western, and that whole thing. And to judge them. Okay, I'm going to stop judging my brothers and sisters over here, and I'll turn and judge you. And that's not the answer either. That's not the answer, because that's not love. And really, I'm laying something out for you here that I can't see it yet. I can see it on paper. I can teach on it, but like I can't see the reality of it. Like it just, I don't know where to put this. And so I'm just leaving it with the Lord and saying, Lord, you're working this out in me. And I will know how to walk through this eventually. But right now I'm caught in that I don't fully get it place. I know it's all true, but in actually walking it out and being, not just living it, but being the reality of what I'm saying. I don't see it yet, but I know I will. Yeah.
I was just thinking it's almost that place of being softer towards people.
Yes.
And being hard-hearted towards Satan.
Yes.
Because it's been the other way around sometimes.
Totally. It's a good way to put it. Yeah,
I think of just the Jesus with the Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure Jesus, from being a child and growing up with everybody he knew, has always been told, "Oh, you know, Philly, you're the Samaritan."
Right, totally.
Everyone else, but right there at that moment, he had no judgment. No. He treated her as he would treat anyone else,
yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. Judging too. I'm instant. It's like, oh, that person.
Yeah.
It's like, stop that.
That's so true.
And I think too, it's like I've just been listening to the journey, and there's a lot of discussion, obviously, about the soul versus the spirit.
Yeah.
And how we can be Christians and we have the spirit, but really our soul, anyway, like people who don't know God can love with their soul and see that.
Yep.
So it's just coming to this place of loving with, like, letting the Spirit love through us, and that's the completion.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, I know that I strive to love with my soul, and there's a mix-up there,
yep.
So I'm working that out too.
Good.
Yeah.
And I think a key to even, like seeing other people's love, like, and loving them, is seeing what God is doing in them. Like, and seeing, oh, you're this, like, that right there, you don't even know, but that's God. That's a gift from God right there. And, God, give me your eyes. How do you see people? How do you look at them? And how do you see, like, okay, this is, like, I hate the enemy, and I love the person. And the person is caught by the enemy, you know, having that genuine heart for them. Mm-hmm. All people. Yeah.
when it says love covers over a multitude of sins, it's so true. It covers over so much. It is the most effective way. And see, the lie I believe sometimes is, no, like preaching is the most effective way. Preaching with truth. Preaching, allowing God to preach through me. And he's like, that's good. And I'm called to preach. I'm called to teach. But love leaves everything else in the dust. Like, love is the most effective. And so as I preach, it's not that I'm supposed to not preach, but I'm supposed to preach with love or teach with love. I'm supposed to live my life with love. And when you love, it melts, it just melts all the plans, it just destroys all the plans of the enemy.
I just was thinking, like, I think in different translations, like, love never fails.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I, like, even in saying that, I'm like, oh, but there was that one book, you know, where it was love wins.
Mm.
But the thing is, if it's the loving in the Spirit,
yeah,
and in His love,
yeah,
it's good and pure and right.
Yeah. Because you still have the love, yes, but you have love rejoices in the truth as well. And there will always be truth and Spirit and truth. Yeah. Love and that.
Just the other day, Emily and I were taking a walk, and we were down just a little ways from our house, but we don't really talk a lot to our neighbors because we're in the country and we all just do our own thing. But the one neighbor, his dog came running over to us and kind of scared us at first, and the neighbor was out there with him. And then a little while later, I just felt the Lord saying, you know, ask him his name, like,
yeah,
a man.
Yeah.
And so I'm like saying, what's your name? And he says, the dog? And I'm like, no. So it's just like, people don't expect,
yeah,
you to, like, reach out or, you know. And when you're showing love, it's like, oh, what just happened there?
Yeah.
So it's just a beautiful thing.
So beautiful. And then we get to the place, too, of Lord, love through me. I don't want to just try and show my own love. I want your love to pour through me. And the cool thing, when that happens, you are blessed like crazy, too. And it's just, he floods through you and to others, and it's just, wow.
So just with, like, applications.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad has said to her, I can see he's trying to teach our children about Allah. So then, you know, we're going home and discussing what's been talked about. We don't correct it in front of them, like in front of them. They're not there yet. And that's going to offend them. And sure, we know that, like, Christ offends people.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would offend people. So, but it's about the timing, too, like, when to speak,
yeah,
but not agreeing with their,
right,
you know, but just, yeah, I just keep coming back to how it's the Spirit's leading,
because
then when our souls get in there,
yeah,
we can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And
one time, the Lord might lead you to correct at that moment, even.
Yeah.
Like, it really is in that place of peace,
yeah,
place of unity with Christ. Because, yeah, there might be a place where God says, you need to correct this right now for your children's sake or for Rashid's family's sake or for his sake. You need to.
And there have been times when we're, like, with a larger group and we do talk about our faith, or they will ask.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to be sensitive to the Spirit and to the situation, but obviously more so to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because they're coming from a place, you know, they're coming to our country, and there's a lot of people helping them who are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want them to feel that they have to, you know, convert for us to continue helping them or
right,
anything like that. Like, it's just, we just want to love you, and
yep,
and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I just had a question about like, are we reading it wrong? Because, like, where does that apply? Love always, what you were talking about.
Everywhere.
Trusts.
Yeah.
And just trust that they're coming from a place that's where...
A genuine place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You trust that they... Because someone can offer something that is wrong, but they think it's right. And they can offer it in a genuine, like, yes, it's from the soul, but they offer it from your genuine place.
So you're saying trust their heart.
Trust their heart.
Not what they're teaching.
Well, we know what they're teaching is wrong.
Right.
So you, because automatically it goes against the scripture, so it's totally wrong.
But wouldn't that confuse them a little
bit? And not that you need to speak it out to them, but like, it's like even explaining it to the children, like if they're out of place, then like talking about it later, they really think they're actually helping. They really think they're bringing help, but it's actually not good. You know? Like they're offering this poison, right? But they actually think it's like the greatest gift they could give you. So you trust... They're coming from a sincere place unless they show that they're not, you know? Because again, we're not supposed to be naive, but it's poison is still poison. And so you're not supposed to drink it, you know? And so it's just that place. Yeah.
I'm just thinking this is where the love, this is where the patience
yep.
part comes in, and yep. the timing will be right. And
Yeah, and we are at a place where, like, where we want to be at a place in our lives where it's almost like the only way I can say it is maybe we're above that. Like God takes us to a higher place where it's like that can't touch me, you know. Another Lord of the Rings reference is from the first one, but it's from the book, not the movie. But I always forget that one character that they meet in one of the forests, and he puts on the ring, and it doesn't affect him. I'm looking to you because I know you. Yeah. See, there you go. I know Craig knows these things. And you know, the ring in the movie is absolute evil. Like, and it's created from evil, and it's created by the evil one, you know, but it doesn't even touch him. Like it doesn't affect him, not like, you know, and but it's only in that place, that one forested area. Like if he would leave, he would be affected. If you look at that forested area as that place where just unity with Christ, abiding in Christ, one with Him, in that place of peace, it can't touch you. And that's where we're really supposed to remain. So even when that poison is offered, again, we look at it as, oh, it's almost like a drug addict who's like on meth, offering you their meth pipe, you know? And because they're really, they just want to be generous. Here you go. And it's like, thank you so much. I'm going to have to decline. But like, you're offering something that's really valuable to you, and you're offering it from a sincere place, but it's drugs. Like, and it kills and it destroys. But I don't hold it against you. And I don't hit you in the face. I love you. I hate the drugs. But I, even in the hatred of the drugs, I don't turn my nose up at you because I see you're caught in it and I just want to minister to you.
I think of in Acts when Paul was in Athens.
Yeah.
With the philosophers and sees the place for the statue of the unknown God.
Yeah.
And the love and how he deals with those yeah. philosophers. He doesn't come after, he just knows you have this place for an unknown God, right? And he used that as a springboard to love.
Yeah.
And it says in scripture that a lot of them received.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't come out attacking their gods or whatever, he just displayed so much wisdom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Michelle, like, they said, okay, we're the spirit. He really ministered well.
Yeah. And you look through Acts, you look through the Gospels, sometimes there's a hard word, a really harsh word even, like Jesus saying to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers." But then at other times it's really gentle. So it's wisdom, it's love, and it really comes down to that oneness and communion and abiding in Christ. All right, so Lord, I feel like, I don't know, I'm not being smart with the Lord here, just so you know. It's just, this is the way the prayer is coming to me, and it's a little bit fun, but Lord, we're not asking much. We just ask that you completely change us. We want to be like you. We want you to live your life in us. We want to be full of love, full of wisdom as well. But I know that what you are putting your finger on right now is love. In my life, you're not putting your finger on wisdom. You're putting your finger on love. And I know that that needs to grow. And so have your way, Lord, in all of us. Have your way. We want to love as you love. And we don't want to just try to love, Lord. We want to embody love. We want to be loving people. Absolutely, wholeheartedly loving. And I know that you can do this and you are going to do this in us, Lord. Praise you for your work in our lives. We love you. In your name. Amen. Blessings.